Good morning, Big Chow Man. Yeah, an interesting development. I did a recording. I've been really pushing this shit for the last 10 or 11 years. Probably 13 years, I guess, you know. But mainly in the last few years since all this Zoom and online meeting type stuff has become available. And what it comes down to is that what I sort of figured out is I contacted the World Service Office of Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous and all these things for their sales figures, you know. I said, you can't sort of track individuals and you can't sort of, you know, get a really good idea of, you know, what goes on in all the different groups and stuff. Who comes, who goes, who stays and for how long. But what I did was I just did a query of what, how many Welcome to AA or Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous or Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous trinkets that the groups buy, you know, like little plastic key rings or key tags, you know, and that they hand out to the newcomers, and what are the sales of the actual that people as individuals, what do they actually buy, you know, for years of abstinence, you know. And the idea isn't to sort of value this to within, you know, like 0.5% of accuracy, but, you know, there's a lot of difference. There's not much difference between 10,003 and 10,003, you know. And what that basically means is that, you know, if you've got, you know, in a given year, say there's, this is just made up, you know, just sort of to illustrate the point. If you've got 10,000 Welcome to AA or NA fucking trinkets being bought by the groups, and, you know, for the new people who just walk in the door, and 10 years later, there's only like 3 10-year sober or 10 years of abstinence type medallions being bought by individuals, it's the ratio, you know, there might be a lot of people with 10 years up that never ever buy anything, but there's such an extraordinary difference between 10,000 and 3, you know. That's the ratio, you know. So the issue isn't sort of, it's not like 10,000 people walked in the door, and aside from death, natural death by natural causes and accidents and stuff like that, and you know, just the general attrition rate and churn rate of humanity. It's not like there's, you know, 9,900 people turning 10 years drug free or whatever 10 years later. We're talking like, say, 10. We're talking, say, 3 people buying medallions, you know, like, not like 9,000, you know. And that's the sort of, you know, that's like, it's as good, when everything's said and done, it's sort of as good as anything, you know, because there's a lot of people that don't get their Welcome to NA or AA medallion, little sort of key ring things or whatever. So, you know, it's sort of, it's generally a fairly reliable sort of figure, you know. And, you know, anyway, so I've been pushing this shit for like the last 10 years, you know, or 12 years. And ran across a guy in an NA meeting, a Zoom meeting online, and he was highly irrational and denounced me as Satan, you know, how dare you bring this shit up, fucking rah, 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 you know. And I made a video on the subject, you know, or just an audio plus picture, you know, and I called it the Great NA or a the Great NA and AA Relapse Rate, you know. And I just sort of, you know, cited a bunch of stuff, you know. And I think I gave him a bit of a mention, one of the things that, you know, I think it went like, you know, this guy was heaping shit on me in a meeting about this, about how 11 years ago him and all his friends went through what I'd put up and what a fucking idiot I am and how full of shit and fucking rah, 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 rah. But what I also included was the fact that, you know, there were a number of very, very, very serious flaws in his argument, in his case. Namely, you know, well, where are all his friends from 10 years ago, you know? 10 or 11 years, you know? Where are they now, you know? Because the guy's relapsed, like, you know, 9 or 10 years ago or whatever. It did a lot of jail time. And, you know, when he's and keeping track of all his friends and using sort of acquaintances and stuff like that, is that he's now confessing, you know, that he's not actually openly apologising, but what he's saying is that, you know, all the fucking now. He's saying that all the people he was using with and all the people he knew in NA, you know, 9, 10 years ago, they're all dead, you know. They're all fucking gone, you know. Dead, buried and gone, you know. And, you know, he's simply saying that, you know, what I'd said was the truth. And so, you know, and I had a reflection on apologising, and it isn't where, you know, you've been fighting with another kid in the class and the teacher says, oh, you got to hold hand, you got to shake hands and apologise and say you're sorry, you know, when you're really not, you know, if you had a half a chance, you'd stave the cunt's fucking head in, you know. But the idea of an apology is to acknowledge the wrong and to learn from that. You know, which is quite different to saying, oh, I'm sorry, fucking, you know, whether you are or not. You know, as to say, well, you know, the information that I had was wrong, you know, and how I delivered it didn't promote my case. It's the opportunity to learn and change and grow and change, you know. And, you know, so, you know, that's, I think, is a good thing, you know. Not the saying the sorry bit, it's the saying, well, where was I wrong? Where are the opportunities for improvement? What needs to be done to make this situation better, you know? And that's good. So he's had his little sort of moment in the sun, and now he's, instead of running around and bagging the fuck out of me, he's now saying to all these people, you know, he's not saying I was right. What he's saying is that, you know, how he responded, you know, what he's saying is what his experience is it closely parallels that of, you know, almost exactly parallels what I've been saying, you know. And I,
I don't know what his life is and what his habits are and who he's been in contact with and where he's gone and all this other shit. It's just, you know, all the people he used to party with, they're all dead, you know. All the people he used to use drugs with, they're all dead, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of them, you know. And you know, you got your sort of people you sort of hang out with, and then you got your people who you spend time with, and then you got your people who, you know, you know, friends of friends and acquaintances and all these sorts of things. And they're all dead. So, yeah. So that's why, you know, you've really got to sort of and, you know, like there's that guy, Shadow Monk, you know, who's gotten into the bloody magic mushrooms and then he scored himself a fucking magic mushroom growing kit, you know. Oh, how awesome, how awesome. It's not down the track when you see how what an insidious drug this is. You know, I didn't really think about this at the time, but like I said, look, if you want to, I believe in taking some drugs for research purposes to see what they're like. And I haven't done all of them, so I can't speak from first-hand experiences, but I think magic mushrooms are probably one of the most sinister brain damage drugs you can get. So, you know, if you're going to try them, don't do a lot of them, you know, only try them once. You know, cook up a good batch and try that and then just leave it alone, you know. But, and so I can't speak as an authority, but I think there has to be cleaner hallucinogens. Than magic mushrooms, you know. And, potentially peyote. LSD, you know, and there are people who are sort of authorities on the subject of ayahuasca or DMT, and what they say is that, you know, there's been people who've done a lot of it, you know, and they said that, you don't have these sort of out-of-body experiences. You fucking vacate the fucking universe, you know, that there are many people who have done ayahuasca, you know, because some people find it helpful, you know. And it's not a pleasant drug to take, as in, like, there's lots of vomiting and all this other sort of shit, you know, and stuff, but, you know, they all say that, you know, there's not just leaving, not having an out-of-body experience, you just leave the fucking planet, you know, leave the universe type stuff, you're just so far fucking out of it, you know. And, you said there's a lot of sort of experienced sort of LSD users that have tried ayahuasca and they just say this is just fucking beyond intense. You know, this is not to be sort of trifled with because of the sort of extreme dissociation, you know. And yeah, like I don't want to get high, but I'd like to have the experience of trying ayahuasca, you know. But, you know, there's things in reality that are just so far out, and I might go into some of these stories another time, you know. And, yeah. But, you know, I think doing hallucinogens for research purposes, you know, maybe once or twice for the experience can be a good thing. But if you're an addict, you know, you're prone to get sort of obsessive and compulsive about many things or some things, you know. Probably steer clear of them, you know, might be a good idea. I forgot to put a bit in on that sort of talk on taking hallucinogens. Is, you know, if you're going to try them, I think magic mushrooms maybe once, you know. But but you know, there has to be cleaner options than that. You know, you can trip without getting substantial sort of brain damage from it, you know. That's why I'd suggest if you're going to get magic mushrooms, you know, only do them once, you know, get a good dose, only do it once and then fuck them off, you know. It's extraordinary. Yeah. But that's the thing with that shadow monk. I don't hate the guy, you know, but you know, getting a magic mushroom growing kit is that's the fucking, you know, that's the sort of railroad bridge collapsing underneath the fucking train, you know. And into the ravine the train goes. That's like train wreck. That's not a fucking fun thing. That's a disaster area, you know. That's, you know. And I also said, you know. See, this is the thing about, I wouldn't say forgiveness, but there's so many people with all these drug addicts, you know, crossing your path in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And that's the benefit of, like, that thing about an apology. It's not to say, oh, I'm so sorry, you know. That's acknowledging the wrongs, you know. And when I got stuck into this guy, and I said, you know, you're taking this shit, you know why you're taking this shit? It's because you're a fucking loser, you know. And that is harsh, but it's true. But a person with some balls would have said, well, what do I got to do to turn my life around? They wouldn't be saying, oh, that guy's a fucking cunt, you know, fucking calling me a fucking loser, rah, rah, rah. You know, he'd be doing something about it, you know. And I haven't heard from him, you know. And that's one of the realities of sort of life, is that you get into drugs and you spiral out of control and then you die, you know. And you can't make people want to stop using, and you can't make them want to stay stopped, and you can't make them, you know, want to work their way through all their issues. They just go on being fucking losers, you know. And you know, so he hasn't fought for it's, you know, it's like one of I had an online relationship many years ago with a woman in Malta, and that was interesting, and I ran what was going on past a number of different people, and one of them, she said, if you notice something. Not once has she ever stood, she's saying this, that, but not once has she ever stood up and defended or fought for the relationship with you. You know, she hasn't fought to keep that relationship going, and she hasn't fought to stay in that relationship, and she hasn't fought to maintain contact with you. You know, and she's doing drugs and fucking screwing around, and the idiot she's fucking around with was just full of shit, you know. And so, you know, and it's like you get that sort of after I've gone and called this guy, you know, I said, because you're a fucking loser, you know. He hasn't fought. He'd rather keep doing the drugs and keep spiraling, you know, out of control into the bottomless fucking pit than, you know, he'd rather keep doing that and defending that sort of position by keeping on doing that sort of stuff rather than what he's saying is, you know, maybe this guy's fucking right, you know, and then verifying what I say by cross-checking things, you know what I mean? You know, maybe looking up, you know, brain damage magic mushrooms, you know, on the internet, maybe calling up a few rehabs and detoxes and, you know, all this other sort of stuff, you know. You know, and verifying it and just saying, fuck, well, if this is what the outcome of doing all these magic mushrooms is and what it's going to lead to by doing even more of them, I've got a choice here. Either I fucking shit can this stuff, you know, just, you know, flushing everything that can be flushed down the toilet and throwing the fucking rest of the kit in the rubbish bin, you know, and saying, fuck that, I'm over this, you know, I'm not going to throw my fucking life away for this sort of bullshit, you know, he's done none of that. From what I've seen, you know, in the intervening time, he's done absolutely none of that. And, you know, he hasn't arced up, how dare you call me a fucking loser, you know, how dare fucking, you know, he hasn't gone and sought advice, he hasn't gone to change his ways, you know what I mean? Maybe that kick in the guts. Sometimes you've got to be fucking hard on people, you know. Sometimes you really got to kick them in the fucking head when they're down. You know, maybe that might help. You know, sometimes it does. And sometimes you got to fucking sit there and go, oh, you poor thing, you know. Oh, you fucking poor thing, you know. And that's legitimate too, but, you know. You know, if he thinks that getting a magic mushroom growing kit is a great boon for all mankind, he's fucked, you know. He will end up so brain damaged he'll never come back, you know. You can't pull out, you know. It's like driving a car at sort of walking speed into, say, a plastic wheelie bin, you know. That's a bit inconvenient, but there's no sort of damage done, you know, at sort of walking speed, and that's completely different to driving your car at sort of highway speed into a fucking big power pole, you know. You know, that's what doing a lot of magic mushrooms on a regular basis will do. It'll just destroy your fucking mind, you know. It'll fucking cause just severe brain damage, you know. And the old junky jokes about, you know, burnt brain cells, you know, burn your fucking brains out, you know, or, you know, their brains are fried, you know. That's true. That's really fucking true. And don't go anywhere near them. Absolutely fucking, you know. If you want to take magic mushrooms and you're not an addict, maybe doing it one decent dose once in your lifetime to have, you know, a good sort of experience, you know what I mean? I don't mean sort of pleasurable, but an understanding and insight, you know what I mean? Because there's things that are just, when you've had one or several different types of hallucinogenic drugs, that opens up doorways. It does things to your consciousness, you know. And the experience of that is useful and interesting, can be. But for as recreational drugs, just don't do it.
you know, this shit about, oh, I've got fucking depression, so I've got, you know, or some other sort of shit, and microdosing on, you know, LSD and taking a tiny, 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 tiny little amount every fucking day, you know. I don't endorse that at all, you know. Because sometimes, you know, plentiful levels of advice can be just plentiful levels of fucking bad outcome, you know. And, you know, hell, what the fuck should I know, you know? Bloody... my good friend many years ago was Professor Charles Slack. He and Timothy Leary were manufacturing it at Berkeley. I think it was Berkeley, UCLA, you know. And they were the fucking cunts that brought this shit full-time to America, you know. They got, I think it was from Sandoz Laboratories in Germany. They got some samples and then they worked out how to synthesize it. And then they manufactured it and it was, you know, the summer of love and everybody doing LSD and everything like that. And Charles Slack, he came out of all that shit just drug fucked and a disaster area, you know. He told me so himself. you know. Oh, man, you know. So, you know, I just think it's, if you're not an addict, do some research. You know, it's got my cautious sort of blessing. You know, do try one of each to go, wow, okay, that's what it's like. Okay, you know. And then fuck it off entirely, you know. Recreational, you know, drug use is not a good thing. It's not. You know. So, yeah. Just reflecting upon the dirt on my car and how nice it looks. It's the sad fact of life, or one of the interesting facts of life, is you have to make choices and decisions, and you have to make good choices and good decisions. Oh, I. And, you know, there'll be people that go, oh, he said that to Shadow Monk. Oh, you fucking cunt, oh, fucking rude cunt, fucking rah, 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 you know. But it's true, you know, no matter what the reasons are, his reasons are behind it. You know, doing magic mushrooms, you know, if you're a non-addict and doing them sort of much beyond even once, for research purposes to see what it's actually like, is fucking bad news, you know. And, you know, and, so, you know, and I think that guy who had that go at me in the online Zoom meeting, one of the things I raised was that, you know, he's all the fucking dickheads in the meetings, you know, in that meeting at that time, I think there were about, you know, 7 or 8 fucking people who were going, oh, that guy's a fucking cunt, he is, you know. I said, you know, in the days, weeks and months, what he's done is he's been a bad example, he's been a dishonest fucking person, he's been disrespectful, he hasn't evaluated the fucking information that I've provided, he hasn't cross-checked anything, and, you know, he's just mouthing off, just all this shit, you know. And so what I've said to him, and what he's done, is all the fucking cunts that just sit there and want to turn, you know, getting well and dealing with all your issues, they want to turn it into a team sport of fucking idiots who sit around bagging people. Well, you know, he hasn't made them do anything. They've chosen to sit around being a bunch of fucking scumbag junkies. And they lead themselves back out the door, you know. You know, so you got to be fucking making smart decisions and you got to be dealing with smart people. And you got to fucking, you know, do what it takes to recover, or you don't. As in, like, you know, you deal, if you don't do what it takes to stay in the fucking game, you deal yourself out of the game, you know. So this is all very, very important stuff. Yeah, so this is enough of today's Daily Delights. And I thank you all.